to turn to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5. 1 Peter, chapter 5. We like to read verses 6 through verse 11. Very familiar passage of Scripture. 1 Peter, chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Peter is writing to those who have been saved by the grace of God. This is very obvious throughout the book. Notice in chapter 1, verse 2, describing those whom he is writing to. They are the elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Verse 3, they are begotten. Notice, begotten us again. In verse 18, they are the redeemed. In verse 23, being born again. In chapter 2 and verse 3, they have tasted or experienced that the Lord is gracious. In verse 7, they are they which believe. And in verse 9, they are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. In verse 10, they are referred to as the people of God and as those who have obtained mercy. So he is writing to the saved. He is writing to those who have been truly blessed of God. Their position in the world is stated in chapter 2 and verse 11. They are strangers and they are pilgrims. We also, by reading 1 Peter, we notice that these that he was writing to were suffering from trials and persecution. Notice in, again, chapter 1 and verse 1, they were strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. That is, they were away from their homes. They were scattered by persecution. These are the individuals that Peter is writing to. In verse 6, he says, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." So he's writing to those who have a heaviness of heart because of a variety of temptations. In verse 7, he talks about the trial of their faith. And he goes on in chapter 2 and verse 20, "For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently, but when you do well and suffer for it." And that's what was happening to them. They were doing what God would have them to do, and they were suffering on account of that. In verse 21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." And then in chapter 4, you see again that they are suffering down through verse 4, chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, we see that they were suffering because they did not do the same things that everybody else was doing. They did not join in the same things that everybody else were doing. In verse 4 it says, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of rioting, speaking evil of you. And then in verse 12 of chapter 4 he says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. So he's writing to saved individuals. He's writing to individuals who are suffering. Individuals that are suffering hardships, individuals that are suffering trials, individuals that are suffering persecution. He writes these individuals to encourage them. He writes them to instruct them in their time of suffering and hardship. We want to take the main thought of the message from what is written in verse 7 of 1 Peter 5, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. These are words that we've all heard many times. These are words that we are very, very familiar with. But if we're honest, these are words that we struggle with. That is, we struggle practicing this very simple precept. And the truth is, the sooner that we learn to do this, the better off we will be. These are words of wisdom, casting all your care upon him. That's wise instruction. That is universal instruction. They are words of a man who, I believe, by this time in his life, had learned this truth. As you follow Peter through the gospel, certainly he was not practicing this precept. But I believe by this time in his life, Peter had learned to cast all his cares upon the Lord, because the Lord cared for him. They are words that are a source of guidance. Can't find better guidance than this. They are words that are a source of comfort, a source of strength for every child of God. So, as you read the context, though, in the context of what Peter says in verse 7, I believe what we read in verse 7 involves a battle. Because connected with that is verse 8, which we'll get to a little later. But this is a battle. The cares of life, the anxieties of life, are a battle. And that's what we want to speak upon this morning, the anxiety battle. In verse 7, Peter presents, first of all, a problem or a disease, and that is seen in the word your care. Then there's a promise or an incentive concerning the problem, and that is, for he careth for you. That's a promise. And that also provides an incentive. And then he presents us the prescription, which the prescription of our problem is casting all your care upon him. So we have the problem, we have the promise, and we have the prescription for the problem. So we want to look first of all at the problem or disease, as it is stated here. Again, it's seen in that word care, which is the Greek word merimna. And it simply has reference to worry, has reference to anxiety, trouble, concern, stress. You know, people say, well, there's nothing wrong with being concerned. Certainly there isn't. But when concern overtakes you and interferes with your life, it's now become a problem. And this is what this word care is referring to. It refers to stress, refers to strain, pressure, fear, agitation. It is that which distracts us, that which weighs us down. has already seen those whom Peter is writing to. They're suffering hardships. They're suffering persecution. But the hardships and the persecution was not their greatest problem. And it's not ours either. It's not the problems that's our greatest problem. It's not the difficulties that will prove to be our greatest problem. It's not the adverse circumstances that we all go through from time to time that is our greatest danger or our greatest problem. The greatest danger and the greatest problem with these whom Peter was writing, and likewise with ourselves, is what we do with those problems. And if it causes us worry, anxiety, and trouble, and stress, and strain, and pressure, and fear, and agitation, and it begins to distract us from living, and it begins to weigh us down, that thing has become a hindrance. It's not the problem that's the hindrance. It's our handling of the problem that's the hindrance. So oftentimes we think, and that's why people think, well, only if my circumstances change, then everything will be better. And circumstances change, and guess what? Nothing's better. Because that's not the real issue. And the real issue is what it's doing to us. That's the real issue. So we have to do something with it before it does something to us. And this is what Peter is talking about. So the main hindrance, and they had adverse circumstances. I mean, can you imagine being scattered throughout? I mean, separated from family. Here were people who had adverse circumstances, but that wasn't their greatest problem. But it was their state of mind in the midst of their adverse and demanding circumstances that proved to be their greatest problem. And every one of us, some to a greater degree than others, no doubt, but every single one of us has the problem of cares. We all have them. Now, man, by man I mean male. Male's solution to cares or worry is just don't think about it. Well, that doesn't work. That's easier said than done. And we all know that. Even we that say, well, just don't think about it. Try it sometimes. It doesn't always work. So no one is exempt from this care. No one is exempt from cares. No one is exempt from worries. Some may never express their worries, but we all have them. There isn't a single one of us here today that does not have worries, that does not have some anxieties, that does not have something that is an irritant to us and really is a hindrance to us. Now notice, he says, all your care. Concentrate on that word, all. I believe the word all speaks of a variety of cares. And there are a variety of cares. And it also speaks of the amount. All your care. That is, it speaks of a significant amount of care or anxiety. Now, these cares or anxieties take on many, many different forms. They can come in any form imaginable. There are family cares. If anyone has a family, they have family cares. The only way to get around family cares is not to have a family. If you have a family, there are going to be family worries, family anxieties. There are financial cares, times in which we live. People are scared. even God's people, they have financial cares. There are those with career cares, which goes hand in hand with financial cares. There are those with health cares. There are folks that are completely healthy, but they spend all their healthy years worrying about the disease they might get. But there are health cares. And as we get older, no doubt, those health cares perhaps may increase. There are just the daily responsibilities of life. Those can prove to be a source of cares. There are sins. Sins are cares. Our weaknesses can be great concerns or great cares. Our temptations can be great concerns and cares. Our future. People are worried today about their future. And some people are always worried about their future. But there are future cares. There are our overall circumstances, that is, things that just happen every day. And things that happen in a day can cause you to worry, can cause you an amount of stress, can cause you some anxiety. And even the times in which we live are certainly a source of care. Paul said to Timothy that in the last days, perilous or dangerous, hazardous, uncertain, and insecure times shall come. I mean, the very word perilous immediately causes one to worry. So even the days in which we live can be a source of care or a source of worry. So we can worry, we can fret, we can become anxious, we can become stressed, we can become strained, fearful, and distracted about anything. There's nothing that we that is beyond the possibility of you and I worrying about. Nothing. Nothing beyond the possibility that you and I might fret about. This is something we all have to deal with. But these cares can take on many different forms, as we've already seen. Notice again the phrase, all your care. The word all speaks of a variety. There's a variety of cares. But notice these cares can be devastating. They can actually devastate and ruin your life. These cares, when they these worries, these fits of fretfulness, they do nothing to benefit your life. Nothing. They do nothing to benefit our lives. In fact, they are detrimental to our lives. We read of Martha in Luke chapter 10 and verse 40. We read that she was cumbered about. Four words. She was cumbered about. The word cumbered means obstructed. She was obstructed. She was obstructed about. Now, about means all around. It means here and there, thither and hither. No matter where she turned, she was obstructed. She was obstructed about many things. But you see, it caused a distraction in her life. And then Jesus went on to say to her in Luke 10 and verse 41, he said, "Thou art careful." That is, thou art worried, you are anxious, you are stressed, you are strained and fearful. And then he added troubled. You are careful and troubled. The word troubled means disturbed and agitated about many things. Not just one thing, but about many things. And that is the condition of many of God's people. What we learn here is that these cares can become an obstruction. They can become an obstruction. So what is an obstruction? Well, an obstruction is a barrier of some sort. An obstruction can be a hurdle, an impediment. It's a hindrance. It's a deterrent. It's something that restricts. It's a blockage. It's a holdup. These cares become an obstruction to life. Our life becomes obstructed by these things. They become an obstruction to peace. They become an obstruction to joy. They become an obstruction to spiritual contentment. So, Peter, they also become an obstruction to our duty and to our responsibilities. So Peter here instructs the saints of God throughout the book. He instructed them to do several things. He said, again, and this was all in the midst of their persecution, in the midst of their suffering. He said, be ye holy in all manner of conversation, there in 1 Peter 1 and verse 15. That is, in the midst of all that they were going through, their responsibility was to be holy. He also told them in chapter 2 and verse 11 to abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. This was their responsibility during the time of persecution. We also read in verse 21 of chapter 2 that they were to follow the steps of Christ. In chapter 3 and verse 15, they were to sanctify the Lord God in their hearts. But the problem was, they've got this care. They've got this worry and anxiety. And this worry and anxiety left unchecked will become an obstruction. It'll become an obstruction to everything that Peter has commanded them throughout the book. It becomes an obstruction to Christian living. It becomes an obstruction to you and I following Christ. And the Bible has much to say about our cares because it's a problem. The reason the Lord says so much about it is because it is a problem with all of us. And the Lord warned concerning this. Notice in Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21 and verse 34. Take heed to yourselves, lest, the very word lest implies a danger, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged or burdened and weighted down. And he mentions some things that they can become weighted down with: surfeiting, drunkenness. But here's what we want to notice. And cares of this life. Take heed to yourselves that your hearts be not burdened down, weighted down with the cares of this life. And many of the cares of this life, you and I can do nothing about. That is, we can't prevent them from happening. They're going to happen. But what we have to beware of is becoming so burdened and weighted down with the cares of this life so that that day, the coming of Christ, come upon you as unawares. So you see, the cares of this life can weigh us down, which is what Jesus was talking about with Martha. Thou art cumbered about with many things, but they can also make us unaware. Unaware. we become unaware of everything but what we're worried about. We become unaware of Christ. We become unaware of all the blessings that are around us. The only thing our mind is upon is this problem. We're fixated with it. And we worry about it. We fret about it. It becomes an obstruction. It does us no good. It does us no benefit. None whatsoever. None whatsoever. You know, people, they think it's a good thing when somebody comes up to them and says, I'm worried about you. That's not a good thing. It's better if they say, I'm praying about for you. And if they're worried about you, that's not going to help you any. If they're laying awake all night just tossing and turning, that doesn't help you a bit. But for you, that'll help you. So it doesn't help me any. Don't even tell me that you're worried about me. You can just tell me that you're praying for me. In Matthew 13 and verse 22, Jesus said, the care of this world choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. You see, the cares of this life can even put a stranglehold on the Word of God where it becomes unfruitful in our hearts. As soon as that happens, you are in a state of spiritual decline, and you can be of no benefit to anyone. And this is why Paul said, be careful, be anxious, or fretful for nothing. For nothing. And people will say, well, if you had the problems I got, you'd worry too. Probably would. It still wouldn't do you any good. Still wouldn't do me any good. That's not the solution. It never is the solution. Never. Then notice, the devil knows that these cares, these worries, these anxieties will prove to be an obstruction. It seems somewhat unusual, verse 8. It seems almost like there is a change of subject. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. It seems like that is a change in subject from verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. But I don't believe it's a change in subject at all. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant. Because the devil knows that he can use the cares of this life to devour you. He can use the worries, the anxieties, and all the fretfulness that you have to absolutely devour you. And that's what he uses many times. Oh, we like to think of all the what we consider big sins that the devil uses. And no doubt the devil uses those. But in the context here, he's saying, be aware of the devil in the context of your cares and your worries, because he will use that to devour you, whom resist steadfast in the faith. So that seems to me that this anxiety is a battle. The devil wants us to worry. The devil wants us to fret. The devil wants us to be filled with anxiety. The devil wants us to be distracted. He wants us to be obstructed. And he will use anything and everything to bring that about, but he will especially use worry, cares, fretfulness. He'll use it. He'll use it against us. But then notice the promise. For he careth for you. Now the he refers back to verse 6 and refers to God. And the word careth is present tense. That means it's continual. The word careth conveys the idea of interest. If you care for somebody, you have an interest in them. When I read that God careth for me, that means He has an interest in me. It means He has a concern. It means that He pays attention. It means that He is willing to assist me, and it means that He is involved in my life. For He careth. He's always caring. He's always interested. He's always concerned. He's always paying attention. He's always assisting. And He's always involved in my life. That's a promise. Notice the word you. He careth for you. It's not just He careth for all of His creation, and there's a sense in which He does. It's not just He careth for all the redeemed, and certainly He does. He doesn't use the word generically. He uses it personally. He careth for you. For you. I mean, when you are in the midst of trial and affliction, it doesn't help you a whole lot to know that the Lord cares for someone else. What you need to know is that He careth for you at that moment. And this is the message that Peter is getting across to these that were suffering. There is no aspect of my life in which God does not care. There is no aspect of my life excluded from God's care, from God's interest, from God's concern. Now, what are the characteristics of God's care? Because to a large degree, God's care is different than ours. Because you and I cannot care without worry. Think about that. We really can't. We can't care without worrying about somebody. But when God cares for us, I assure you, it's free of all fretfulness. It's free of all worry. It's free of all fear. You see, if you care for somebody, you fear that something bad might happen to them. That's just the way we are. God doesn't fear. We may even despair. Something bad happens to somebody we care about, and we may despair. That's the way God has made us. We're human. But God's care is different. Something happens to us, God doesn't despair, because God knows everything. And God's almighty and all-powerful. My point is, when we begin to fear, we begin to despair, what Peter is saying here is you need to cast that upon the one who is beyond fear and beyond despair. So God does not fret over us in His care for us. God's care, like Himself, is not occasional. It's constant. God's care, like Himself, is faithful. You can always depend upon it. God's care, like Himself, is permanent. It's lasting. Even when you get to heaven, does God stop caring for you? I don't think so. It's permanent. It's lasting. God's care is patient. God's care is unwearied. God's care, like Himself, is loving. It's compassionate. It's merciful, it's gracious, and it's almighty. God's care, like Himself, encompasses everything. Encompasses everything. God's care, like Himself, is omniscient. It's all-knowing. In our care, we imagine a lot of things. God doesn't imagine anything. Someone gets a cold and we imagine they've got cancer. And we call that care. God's care is omniscient. God's care, like Himself, is present. Again, it's always there. God's care is always beneficial. Our care for one another is not always beneficial. Now, although I know that may hurt some folks' feeling, but it's the truth. It's not always beneficial. It's not always for the well-being of that individual. Sometimes our care can be selfish. But God's care is beneficial. He careth for you. Those are amazing words when we consider who we are. Those are words of great wonder. David wrote in Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4, "When I consider the heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him?" That is, what is man that thou would care for him? You see, God has a universe to run, and you better be thankful He runs it. God has a universe to run, yet He's mindful of me. He's not only mindful of me, He is mindful of every detail of my life. You want to talk about busy? He has a universe to run, and He's mindful of me. God's the only one who can do that. So we have these cares. They are a problem. We have the promise of God, that is, He careth for you. Now we have the prescription for our cares. Casting all your care upon Him. And like God's care for us, this is present tense. That is, it's something that we're always doing. We've all said it, and it's all true. We will say, "I don't have a problem giving my cares to God." It's, "I always go back and take them back." You see, that's why you got to cast them again and again and again and again. It never stops, because that is our nature. We cast it there, and then a couple minutes later, we just keep gazing over there, and we got to run back and get it again. And then what are we to do? Cast it again. It's present tense, casting all your cares. What is our incentive for doing this? Well, that's stated in that little word, for. Casting all your care upon Him for, or because, He careth for you. So you see, the promise of God is the incentive to cast our cares upon Him. The sovereign monarch of the universe cares for us. The one who is greater than all of our cares for us. And if we know that, that is an incentive. Because He cares for me. And because He is bigger than all of my cares, and because He can better handle them than I can, I'm going to cast them on Him. But you know what we like to do? We like to cast our cares upon another brother or sister who is no more capable of handling them than you are. Now, you're not only stressed, you've stressed someone else out. And then you know what they do? They share them with somebody else. And it just keeps continuing. We have this great art of stressing one another out, where we could stop it all by just casting our cares upon the one who can handle them. He can handle them. People say, "Oh, I'll tell so-and-so because they've got broad shoulders." How broad do you think their shoulders are? I'm talking about God, who has everything in the palm of His hand. That's where we ought to be casting our cares. That's where we need to cast them. But all today we cast them out, human beings, and they can't hardly handle them. And they say, oh, they didn't even act like they cared. They can't handle it. You're putting something on them that they do not have the strength and the ability to handle. You're casting your care in the wrong direction. Cast it upon the Lord. This word casting means throwing something on something. In Luke 19 and 35, we read, they cast their garments upon the colt. That is, they took it off of themselves and cast it on the mule. That's what casting means. We read in Hebrews 12 and verse 1, let us lay aside, that is, take off from ourselves every weight. That is an act of surrender. To take it off of ourselves is an act of surrender. And then we are to take it off ourselves and notice casting all your care. That means the complete amount. The complete amount. That means the whole. The complete amount and the whole of all your worries, all your anxieties, all your troubles, all your stresses, all that which causes you pressure, all that which agitates you and distracts you, all your needs, all your concerns, all your sorrows. Take them all. You do not hang on to any of them. Take them all, and that simply means there's nothing too small. Well, that's too small to bother the Lord with. Don't you see? He careth for you. It's not a bother. It's not a bother. Isn't it amazing? Here's the way we think. It's too small for the Lord, and yet it's not too big for another human being. But it is too big. And it's not too small to cast it upon God. We're to take all of our cares. Nothing too small, nothing too big. Try carrying a bowling ball around all day long. 16-pound bowling ball carried around all day long. And at the end of the day, tell me that you feel good. You're going to feel miserable. It's going to distract you from doing a lot of things. I mean, you never set it down. You're always holding it. You may shift hands if you want to, but you're always holding the thing. That's going to really get in the way. In fact, there's going to be some things you're not going to be able to do that you would normally do. And at the end of the day, you're going to be worn out. You're going to be tired. You're going to be frustrated. And you say, well, only a fool would carry a bowling ball around all day. Oh, we carry much more than that around all day. We lug it with us everywhere. Uphill, downhill, doesn't matter. We sleep with it. We get up, we make sure we grab it. We got to have this thing. We carry it around all day long. Oh, I don't know why I ache all over. I don't know why I feel so run down. It's not that difficult to figure out. We carry these burdens around with us, casting all your care upon Him. He is able. He's able to handle it. He's bigger than all your cares, and He's able. You take all your family cares, cast them upon the Lord. Well, I'm worried to death about my kids. I'm worried to death about my husband. I'm worried to death about my wife. I'm worried to death about my cousin. I'm worried to death about this one or that one. Take all your cares and cast them upon the Lord. Take all your financial cares and cast them upon the Lord. All your health concerns. And as we get older, and you won't understand this until you hit a certain age, but as you get older, you do become concerned about health care. You get a pain somewhere, oh no, what could that be? You know, someone else had that same pain, and you know what happened to them. And we just begin to think this thing. So we need to cast all of our health cares upon the Lord. All of our future cares upon the Lord. And the God who put the stars in their place, rotates the sun in its course, is the God to whom we submit all of our cares. I mean, can you find a better place today than to submit all your cares than to the Lord? But I want you to notice in closing, the end result of doing all of this, verse 10, the latter part of that verse, you'll make us perfect. That means mature. Worrying and fretting is an obstruction to spiritual maturity. We learn to cast all our cares upon Him. That'll mature us spiritually. The next word He uses is establish. That means to fix firmly, to render immovable. Adverse circumstances will come. You cannot prevent them. But all to be established. When the winds blow, we're fixed firmly. We're immovable. That comes from casting all your care upon Him. The word strengthen means to fortify, to shore up. The word settle means to give resolve, to form a firm foundation. Those are the things that we need in the world in which we live. Those are the things we need in the midst of adverse circumstances. Those are the things we need in the midst of our cares. Worry is not a virtue. It's not something you ought to brag about. Fretfulness is not a virtue. You shouldn't be bragging about it. It's not even a sign of care necessarily. So we need to learn casting all your care upon Him, which immediately raises the question, well, how do you do that? Yeah, I can see that's what we're supposed to do. But how do you do that? Well, again, folks may not like it. But notice the verse before verse 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. When will we cast our cares upon Him? When we humble ourselves. The very moment you realize that you can't and He can, you'll cast that care upon the Lord. But as long as you think you can, you're going to hang on to it. The answer is, first of all, we have to humble ourselves. And then we humble ourselves and we need to just ask God continually, Lord, I'm no different than anyone else. I have these cares and I like to hang on to them. I even get a little bit of enjoyment out of it, and we do. But Lord, you're going to have to make me to cast my cares upon you. Lord, you humble me. You humble me so that I can cast my cares upon you. And oh, how much better our lives would be just to cast it all upon the Lord. How much more peace we would have. How much more joy. How much more contentment we would have when we learn to just cast everything upon the Lord. And the best way to do that is as soon as something comes up, you go to God in prayer. I mean, you don't even give your time, don't even give your chance of time to worry about it. I mean, as soon as it comes up, you go to the Lord in prayer for whatever it is that has come up and also for yourself. You know, when someone ask you to pray for them, you need to pray for them, but you better pray for yourself also. It's just like in Galatians 6, when you go to reprove someone, consider thyself also. You need to pray, Lord, you need to help me to cast this upon you. Because if you don't, what it tends to happen in our lives is we pick up a little weight here, and a little weight here, and a little weight here. No, it may be minute. But over a period of time, it adds up. And it can wear you out. So God help us to cast all our cares upon Him.